Well, good morning. An unbelievably beautiful morning. The drive down here this morning was just indescribable. But I am struck. This town is a little bit smaller than Beijing, I noticed when I got here. And I would like to talk about that a little bit. But my real mission this morning is to encourage the missionary in you. We tend to lift missionaries up and put them on this pedestal like they're special. And I can tell you, we're not. Not in ourselves. But in the power of Christ, we certainly are. And Scripture tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Pretty strong. So this is a special privilege for my wife Pat and myself to speak with you this morning about missions and about your role in this commission that Jesus gave us. You are a sending church. There are churches that don't send out missionaries at all. They are very comfortable teaching and studying, but they're not sending. What I've already, in my brief time here this morning, I am very conscious of the fact that this is a sending church. There are missionaries in the field who are there because you have sent them. That is awesome. It's part of your DNA. Your support of missions, financially, spiritually, and relationally, is what makes it possible for them to serve the Lord. They literally could not do what they do, what we all do, without that support. Pat and I have enjoyed that support. We were in the mission field in different ways, the latest being in China full-time for a year and then part-time for the following 2 years. And we know from that experience and from some Gideon experiences that I'll share with you also, that without that prayer support, you feel absolutely naked out there. You literally don't want to leave the room you're in except for that prayer support. It is what gets you up in the morning. It's what gets you out the door. And it is palpable. You can feel it. It is real. So I want to encourage you as senders, and I want to encourage you as missionaries in your culture, in my culture, in our culture. A missionary is nothing but a person who is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news, in the culture they are in. You are in a culture here. Your missionaries are in another culture, maybe. But they share in the culture that they're in. You have to understand the culture that you're in to be able to share there. I want to look at Colossians 4. And I'll read it because I always get it wrong. In Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Paul wrote this to the earliest Gentile Christians. For the purposes of this discussion, let's call it the birth of Christianity outside of Jerusalem. This culture was hostile to the gospel and hostile specifically to Christians, to people who followed the way. So these new believers were burdened with having this exciting, life-changing truth in their hands, in their grasp, and living in a culture that didn't want to hear it. Not terribly different from today, is it? We have the truth. We've learned it. We've been taught it. It's in our grasp, but we live in a culture that sort of doesn't want to hear it. So Paul had a couple of messages for them, to those believers in Colossae, and to us. Recognize that you are carrying a rare and precious gift that you need to share at every opportunity. You need to share. Also, that you may need that need will conflict with the culture around you. So the point here is to pray earnestly for the opportunity to share, and when that opportunity presents itself, to be bold to share. It isn't just enough to pray for the opportunity if you don't rise to it when it's presented. Seems pretty simple. Open the doors of opportunity to share the good news. It is neither simple or enough. Some years ago, I sat under a Gideon brother named David Morrell, who's gone on to be with the Lord now. He walked us through the import of this seemingly simple statement. In order to honestly pray for open doors, for opportunities to share the gospel and its impact on us personally, we need to do something that comes hard. We need to have a heart for the lost. Not just a head knowledge of the lost, but a heart for that. And that there's a whole bunch of baggage with that term, a heart for the lost. So this isn't the simple part. If we're going to speak boldly and selflessly in a one-on-one situation, we need to be able to share our own experience of Christ's salvation in us, of His grace, what we have experienced. It is undeniable. If I am speaking to someone about my experience of grace, my experience of salvation, they cannot object to that. Because it's true. It's mine, I own it. And they have no way of knowing that it's not true. They have to believe that I'm saying it, I believe it, it's true. It isn't arguable. Now, if we want to argue points of theology, they can argue all day long, as you may have experienced. But my experience of grace, my experience of salvation is mine. I own it. It's undeniable. So this is a fundamental principle that I learned in the Gideons. And Pat will tell you, it didn't come easily for us. This idea of being able to share our experience of God's grace one-on-one with an individual. The principles are nice. You can practice them in small groups, but when you're in the culture, on the street, engaging a person who is either unaware or even hostile, it is much more difficult. But one of the things, a fundamental principle of the Gideons is that we be able to share our experience of grace that comes to us fundamentally through God's Word, which is why we distribute God's Word, because we know that a person who reads God's Word, who is open to it, is going to generate hunger. That hunger is going to bring him to a place like this. And in that place, they're going to learn how all this ties together. And once they do, and once they commit, they're going to have to take it out. You can't not take it out. So the Gideon ministry is about sharing our own testimony And then as business and professional men and our wives, to sharpen each other in our experience of that grace and in how to share it. And then in the end, we have a tool that, given our experience, given the building up that we do with each other, we're going to take it out in printed form primarily, to the tune of $90 million a year. And we also have an application. There's an app for that, right? There's an app for everything. There is a Gideon app with, I've lost track, it's over 1,300 translations, most of them available in audio form for people to hear the gospel in their own language. We've had the experience, my wife and I have had the experience of sharing with, it was an Uber driver is one that comes right to mind, from Bangladesh, barely spoke English, but he understood the gospel presentation in his language, because we were able to direct him to pull the app, find the, I don't even remember the name of the language, but he recognized that's my language, and he heard John 3:16 in his language, sitting in his Uber car. Now, did it change his life that moment? Probably not. But we planted a seed that will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. No question. And we do that in lots of different ways. The most familiar is the Gideon Bible, which isn't a Gideon Bible at all. It's a Bible placed by the Gideons. Typical hotel Bible. And we place a lot of these, but it's about 5% of what we place. The primary placement that the Gideons do are to students. It's a New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, with helps, what we call helps in the front, which are areas of concern in a person's life that they're struggling with. It will direct them by verse or by page number, if they're completely unfamiliar, to God's Word, and God's Word will change them. We also distribute large print testaments, again, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, in nursing homes and hospitals. This opportunity that I just heard about this morning for Wellsboro College, the school over here. I just lost the name of it.
Mansfield.
That is the golden opportunity of golden opportunities. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. We are praying up in our area. We have a community college that the Gideons are praying fervently for an avenue to share the gospel on that campus. Right now, they don't want to hear it. I mean, resistant doesn't even begin to describe it. I need to share, we have these places that there's lots of resistance, right? We live in the Northeast U.S., all of us, and it's hard ground here. There is one huge monster exception to that, and that's New York City. The Gideons will go to New York City. We do it a week in September every year. In between two Jewish holidays, we sandwich it in. And we will distribute, this year it was 175,000 scriptures in prisons, in hospitals, in nursing homes, in schools, and in colleges, all across the five boroughs of New York City. And we are welcomed there. You wouldn't know you were in Northeast United States. It is unbelievable. We go to a nursing home and do a distribution. They want us to stay for lunch, and they want us to do a service with them. I mean, it is unbelievable. And this is even in Jewish hospitals. They are delighted to have us there. Whereas in our own communities, it's much harder. So in our own communities, we rely very heavily on individual one-on-one testimony with people. I'd like to share another place that's very different than Northeast U.S., and that is China. When I retired from working, my wife and I were searching for a ministry opportunity. It's a long story. The short version is that we made ourselves available. A ministry found us that serves primarily in Beijing, teaching Chinese English teachers how to teach English using Western methods. So we weren't teaching kids, we were teaching teachers. And we were doing this at Peking University, which is the Harvard of China. These students, we call them students, they were teachers. But I will fall into students every time I talk about it. Our students would come in, they would spend 2 weeks, sometimes 15 days with us, and they could speak no Chinese. They had to speak English while they were with us, which is why we didn't learn much Chinese. And we would teach them methods, and it was like summer camp for them. It was very excited. We pump a lot of energy to them, but our whole curriculum was based on values. And it was day 13 or 14, I've forgotten which day it was. There's one day where we have them read off the screen, and what they're reading is Corinthians 13. It doesn't say 1 Corinthians 13 on the bottom, but it's love is. And that's typical through the whole curriculum. And they absolutely gobble it up. They are starving for values. Three generations of enforced atheism have created a hunger in China that is you can't even describe it. So, and the gospel answers all their questions. So they are very hungry for it, and they are very willing to listen and to engage hard. So that was our day job, and we did that 12 hours a day. I was invited to teach a Bible study. They call it an English study, which we did faithfully every Wednesday. Even the creation of that was a miracle. Started out with two people and we were at 50 before we knew what happened. And we did that full time for the year, and then for the next 3 years, we did that when we were in town, we would do it live. When we were back in the U.S., we would do it via teleconference. And all we were doing is reading through Scripture, verse by verse, page by page, and sharing what it meant to us and having them share their growth experience through the gospel. I mean, indescribable hunger and openness. Neither of us are gifted world-class teachers. Neither of us are born evangelists. And the people we work with weren't born evangelists. I'm guessing most of you are not born evangelists. But you have a tool. I'm guessing most of you have one of these within reach in your home. And hopefully within reach in your car, and best of all, within reach in your pocket. So that when you have an opportunity to share, you can do that. You don't need to be trained, you know, at the seminary for years and years and years to be able to share your experience of Jesus Christ. Our experience, what grew us into being able to do what we did in China, was several things. It started with coming to faith ourselves. We were able to minister with our children. We homeschooled our children with a Bible-based curriculum for all the years. We were in a local church where we could minister to children and to adults week after week after week, day after day, real time, real people. At one point, we prayed for an opportunity to expand our ministry. We felt like we could do more. And that's when we discovered the Gideon's International. The Gideon's International allowed us to do something that is, in our experience to that point, was unique. We could serve together. Pat and I love to serve the Lord, and we love to do it together. Gideon's has allowed us to do that. So we do distributions together. We help the organization foster more believers and more people doing testimony and distributions together. We've been able to do that together. When we went to China, we were able to do that together. To us, that's important. We were in a small church up near Rochester, New York, before we left for China, that had a mission outreach to Mexico, the rural Mexico up in the mountains. And we were able to go twice to serve the Lord in that ministry, and we could do it shoulder to shoulder. That matters a lot to us because we support each other, and the Lord has just spoken to us. That's how we should minister. So we've been able to do that, and I've loved it. And then in the end, it winds up for us sending us to China. Just a quick aside. Once we made the decision that we were going to China, we had a couple of choices. We could go for 3 weeks, we could go for 2 months, or we could go for a year. Well, we prayed about it very quickly said, we're going for a year. And we're on the airplane heading to China the first time, and we thought, are we insane? We've never been to the Far East. We have no idea what we're going into. We don't speak the language. It's a good thing the Lord is sending us, because otherwise there's just no way. Well, the Lord absolutely sent us. Our experience of ministry in China changed us forever. It is just, it's indescribably rich to be able to share the gospel almost hourly with people who want to hear it, who recognize that we have something that they want. It really stretched us. It's taxing and it's humbling. The start of moving from ministry to my family to ministry outside of my family started in a very simple way that I just want to share quickly. When we were starting to homeschool, my wife, Pat, was very comfortable teaching the children, doing Bible studies with them, and I would come alongside with that. But I really struggled with family devotions. What do I do? We were at a homeschooling convention. There was a man who's big in the homeschooling movement who was doing a talk to dads about this subject. I said, wow, this is terrific. And his message was three words. Just do it. He said, you have everything you need between the pages of this book. Everything you need is here. Just open it. And wow, was he right. And thus began a path to ministry that has changed my life, and if you are open to it, will change yours. I want to go to 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The open doors that we experienced in China were different in some very interesting ways from what we had experienced before. In the United States and in Mexico to a lesser extent, as witnesses for Christ, we engage people, encounter people, and a culture that has heard the good news in some way and has essentially rejected it. Our postmodern culture around us doesn't accept personal guilt for sin or the need for redemption by a God. Our hard-won freedom, we have proclaimed, with our hard-won freedom, we have proclaimed our independence from our Creator God and from each other.
We're good. I got it.
It describes us as self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and complete without God. Even Christians in our Western culture who have acknowledged our own sin burden and accepted Christ's atoning sacrifice for our personal sin are inclined to wear our redemption as individuals and as part of our independence. Our innocence is personal based on Christ's washing me of the guilt I had. In the East, and in China in particular, there is nearly no sense of personal guilt. But there is a strong shame that is the result of my behavior and how it's impacted my family, my work group, or my society. So it's not guilt, it's shame. I'm part of a larger collective unit, and the honor of that group bears shame because of my own failures. The concept of personal sin is not independent of the world around me. I am not independent, freestanding. I'm part of a whole. It is personal shame, and it hurts, but the pain is because of the honor of others that has been impacted by my failure. The difference is important because the need for redemption is just as intense and important, but it's not from my guilt, but from my shame. Does it matter? Yes. It matters because we need to engage the person in the culture in an effective way that may not follow my own experience of coming to faith. As an American, an independent Northeast U.S. Yankee, I understand guilt. I got that one. But the people that I'm speaking to in China don't understand that. What they understand is that as they have failed their family or their society around them. And it hurts. It hurts the same way my guilt hurts. I want to be careful how I say this. Our work engaging the culture in China was way easier than the U.S. because the barriers here to sharing are institutional. Hearts are hardened here because the gospel at some level has been heard and rejected. So hearts are hardened here. Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt, would be very comfortable in this culture. Hardened hearts. In China, people are very eager to discover what that freedom from that weight means and to feel that freedom. When you engage hungry, eager individuals, you quickly will get a sense of their history. Very quickly, when you touch people in China, and I'm guessing this was your experience too, you can't engage people without sensing their history. It's just, it's right there. It's right on their face. And that hunger is equally so. They want freedom from shame. They cannot grasp the concept that people would walk away from their faith. To them, freedom and Christianity are the same thing. So the idea that understanding us, understanding Americans, is very difficult for them because American equals Christian, and Christian equals free. And yet, you know, there's all this conflict that they see and that CNN is happy to talk about. So it's a real struggle for them to understand. I mention all this because I want to bring it back to open doors. Doors are open to us because we pray for them to be opened. God opens them. And he opens them. Those open doors have to come from people who want to hear, who want to open that door to us. We can't force a door open. The person we are witnessing to has to open the door to us. There's this concept that you hear that we have to earn the right to speak. And there's a little bit of truth to that. But it can be used as a shield against a very important fact. And I come back to this fact that my testimony is my testimony. It's mine. I own it. So I don't have to earn the right to share what my experience of grace has been. I don't have to defend that. It's just a fact. And if I can engage someone and share my experience of God's grace, that will be telling to them. Because it's personal. And then it's person to person. Paul, who wrote this letter to the Colossians, was not a pillar of society when he wrote the letter to the Colossians. He was in prison. He was not well regarded by the society around him. You don't put well regarded people in prison. But he was obedient to the call to share his own experience. And by that doing, by the fact that he did that, we have most of this testament. Most of the New Testament is written by a man who was pretty soundly rejected by his culture. But his experience of God, which we've all read, changed a life, which changed other lives, which changed our lives, yes? The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. What's the next step? What's the action step? I'm asking only for two things. You have missionaries, people who are doing this full time in the field, sharing the gospel. Pray for them. Pray for them. Not just on 3 minutes on Sunday morning, every day. And support them as you are able financially, as the Lord leads, provide financial support to the men and women and their families who are serving the Lord as your proxy. Part of that group, part of the outreach of to the world for the gospel is the Gideon's International, which has been our most powerful ability, I believe, to reach the world with the gospel. I was not able to do that. I was very, very little ability to do that in China. Gideons are not particularly welcome in China. The word is, but Gideons are an organization, and the only organization that's legal in China is the Communist Party. So we have not established a presence there, although we have distributed about 10 million scriptures there. And we don't smuggle in. This is all up front. We insist on doing this legally. I would invite you to consider how you can share the gospel in your life. Don't be afraid. It doesn't hurt. The worst that can happen is somebody doesn't want to hear it. And you can't force them to do that. You can only provide your experience and your knowledge, and it's up to them to receive it or not. A fellow Gideon taught us years ago, we're not going to bring anybody to Christ. It won't happen. It's not our job. Our job is to express our experience of God, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. I ask you to do the same, to support the Gideons, among other missions, but support us with prayer, financially as you are able, and to do it faithfully as unto the Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to share here. This was much more personal than I had planned to offer, but I beg you to accept that mantle that Christ gave in the commission. Just accept it. It's a joy. Thanks for the opportunity.
He mentioned Mansfield University. Ron, he shared this a couple weeks ago in a prayer meeting. Ron, how many New Testaments did you hand out at Mansfield last month?
I think it was close to
400. Yes. Okay. Close to 400 Bibles, and the president of the university came out and met them and thanked them for being there.
Oh, man.
So that was really exciting. So we're really grateful. If you didn't know, Ron and Russ are both Gideons, so you can talk to them sometime about it. We have it on the back table. I don't know how many of you know it's there. And a lot of people know. A number of you know it's there because it's to give Bibles in memory of someone. If we've had people do it. We had people do it a few years ago for us for Pastor Appreciation Month. They gave 10 Bibles, and I thought, what a great gift that is. But if someone passed away, you can leave a Bible. What else is that? What else can they do with it in memory and
in recognition?
Okay.
Special day weddings.
Okay, I knew there was a lot more to it, but just there's a blue thing back there with different information in it. Please use that. It's a great opportunity to share the Word of God with people. And we're going to stand together. We're going to sing a song, Michael W. Smith.